It's Pastor Michael Eaton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly Eaton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael Eaton. That's Eaton. Maybe listening through our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com or podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other ministries all on the internet. Now, let's get to the Word.
Amen. Tonight we're going to continue in the series that we've been talking about all month, love and marriage. Love and marriage. And we started out the month with a foundational text, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, and it's in your newsletter. And we talked about what love was. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It's not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoice with the truth. And it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. We challenge you at the beginning of the month to apply that kind of love in our relationship with one another. We as Christian folk, we need to be patient with one another. We as Christian folk need to be kind to one another. We as Christian folk don't need to be envious of one another. Same God that blessed sister can bless brother. So we don't have to be envious. We don't have to be proud. And definitely, love is not rude. So if you want to know whether you're being loving, pose the question, am I being rude to my brother? Am I being rude to my sister? Am I being rude to my mate? Because love isn't rude. It's not rude at all. It's not self-seeking. It doesn't always have to be about me. It doesn't have to be about my program. It doesn't have to be my way of a highway. Also, another way to say, if you really know how to love, is it is not easily angered. It's not 0 to 60. Keeps no record of wrong. People who love one another forgive one another. So we challenge you at the beginning of the month to apply that, just first of all, just apply that kind of love in our everyday relationships with one another. That's church people who love God. And then we started to talk about marriage, and we let you know that marriage is like that song that says, love and marriage goes together like a horse and carriage. If I tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other. And we challenged folk to be countercultural. See, this culture doesn't hold marriage in high regard. And many of us didn't have the right models and the right roles. Some of us have never seen what a marriage is. So some of us really have to be taught that marriage is from God. As we looked in the book of Genesis, and we saw God set in order this thing we call marriage. Marriage is a God-given institute. And I, as a Christian, should want to do what God tells me to do. And we've studied marriage from its beginning, and we've studied roles of marriage. We talked about marriage rules, and tonight we're going to talk about how to have a happy marriage. Now, if you're here today and you're single, and one day you may be married, so it's good to take notes to know what I need to do in marriage. As a matter of fact, the best way to prepare for marriage is before you even get in a relationship at all, spend time before God and say, Lord, teach me so that I can truly be ready. I can say that I want to be an Olympic runner, but I'm talking out the side of my neck unless I really go into strict training. And I train myself to be a great runner, and I train because you don't get in a race just the day of and begin to run, because you'll never win. So being single, if you're here, you're single, and this is time to go into strict training and prepare for what God has for you. Here today and you're married, this is a tune-up. A tune-up. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, this is a tune-up for you. This is a tune-up, but every car needs a tune-up. Really, every marriage needs a tune-up. And this is a tune-up tonight for those who may be married, because maybe you forgot how it used to be. And God's going to remind us tonight how to have a happy marriage. We're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. It's only on your screen tonight. Gave my secretary the day off. But it's three slides, and let's read that out loud together at the same time on three. One, two, three. Amen. Again, we're talking about how to have a happy marriage. How to have a happy marriage. We're going to talk on around three points. We're going to talk about a marriage of true beauty, a marriage of true beloving, and a marriage of true beseeching. And we're going to talk tonight about true beauty, true beloving, and true beseeching in the context of how to have a happy marriage. I didn't say tonight how to have a marriage, because some marriages last, but those marriages are not happy. As I said before, I've asked couples, how long have you been married? And some will say 40 years, some will say 50, some say 20, others may say 10. And then I asked them the next question, how long have you been happily married? And the numbers seem to change. The numbers seem to change. So we're not just talking about being in a marriage. We're talking about being in a happy, fulfilling, God-giving, God-designed marriage. And we're going to take it straight from the Word tonight. And we're going to look at tonight in marriage. First of all, we're going to talk about this thing called true beauty. True beauty. In the context of true beauty, the text says, wives, in the same way, submit to your husbands, to your own husbands. husband, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. For when they see the pure and reverence of your lives. This text begins to talk about true beauty, and we talked about the submission factor, but I told you before that marriage can have some kind of redemptive agency within it. In other words, marriage is a model of Christ in the church. That's the mystery of marriage, and as a result, a good marriage, a happy marriage, can be a marriage that has redeeming qualities to it. Man, people can see your marriage and say, hey, I want to have what you have. And you can tell them the reason why I have a happy marriage is because we do what the Word of God says to do, and we reap the benefits of what the Word says. And in this text tonight, if we apply this truth to our marriage, we can reap the benefits. And even as we talked about last Wednesday about marriage rules, even when some may be here and they're married to somebody that do not know Christ, this behavior is such a model behavior that someone can come to know Christ. It says that if a woman acts in a certain way, if she submits to her own husband, not somebody else's husband. Hello, somebody. But to your own husband, it says, if any of them do not believe, if you're married to an unbeliever, they may be won without a word. That's to let us know that really evangelism and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, sometimes it's done without saying a word. And that's how we have to get on to some Christian women that they're in the church and they're supposed to be committed to God, and they leave this place and they go home and they beat their husbands who do not know Christ over the head with the book and calling them the devil and Satan and everybody else. But that's not good evangelism. And you're driving men away or vice versa because of the way that you are acting. You ain't God. Hello, somebody. You don't have the right to judge. Hello, somebody. You don't have the right to call somebody outside of their name. Hello, somebody. Even if they're doing wrong, you have to have a certain level of character. And in this sense, it's talking about a woman and true beauty. You have to have character. You just can't treat a man any kind of way. And it says in the text, and if they do not believe the word, they may be won without words by the behavior of their wives. Oh, this word should get down into you so much that if you go home and the way you treat that mate, whether you're a man, as God tells a man to love a woman as Christ loved the church, or whether you're a woman, God tells you to submit as the church does to Christ, that this should be so fulfilling that if we got some folk who are married to unsaved, they should love Bethlehem. They should be waking you up and saying, now, honey, you're going to miss church. Brother, you're going to miss church because when you come to this place, you leave changed. When you come to this place, you leave with the word of God and you begin to apply it in your marriage. And as a result, they get the benefits of being with a true Christian. It says that by their behavior of the wives, and when they see pure and reverence of their lives, when they see the pure and reverence of their life, this is true beauty. This is true beauty. Let's go on and see what the text says in the next slide. It says, your beauty. And this could be really today. Your beauty should not come from the outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. But this is true beauty. Rather, it should be of your inner self. Hello, somebody. The unfading beauty of a what? Gentle and quiet. quiet spirit. And he's talking to the wives, a gentle and quiet spirit, which is great worth in God's sight. A Christian woman shouldn't be a virago, a loud, boisterous woman. A Christian woman should be a woman that is, a virago is a loud, boisterous woman. A Christian woman should be someone who is gentle and quiet in spirit. Oh, if you want to know if you're being godly, are you being loud? I know that's one of the ways I can tell whether I'm being godly, because I can use this preacher voice here. Some people say I'm too loud here, but I can never use this voice in my home. The preacher's voice is not welcome at home. I don't raise my voice to my wife, and if I do, I'm in the flesh. Hello, somebody. And if you're at home raising your voice to your husband, screaming and yelling and nagging, hello, somebody, that's not of God. A woman of God is someone who's quiet and has a gentle spirit. And God says that which is of great worth in God's sight. This is great worth in God's sight. Oh, it's easy to adorn the outward. But are you adorning the inner self? Oh, amen. Are you adorning the unfading beauty of your inner self? You know, I heard people say that some people can get ugly real fast. They have a nice wrapping, a nice package, but they open their voice and ugliness come out. Hello, somebody. That shouldn't be of a Christian. And it shouldn't be of a Christian woman. And if you want to have a happy marriage, you got to do what God says to do. Amen. You have to do what God says to do. And verse 5 says, For this is the way that holy women of the past who put their hope in God use to adorn themselves. You see, they don't have to be loud. They don't have to raise their voice because they're hoping in God. Hello, somebody. You know, you don't have to be quiet. You don't have to do this. You don't have to be loud. You just be quiet and you learn how to pray and you have a gentle spirit and not that you'll become a pushover or anything. It's just, I believe in the God that I serve. Hello, somebody. If my wife is not doing right, or if my husband is not doing right, I believe that God can take care of him or her. Hello, somebody. I don't need to nag. I don't need to cuss. I don't need to holler, fuss, and fight. I don't need to do any of that. All I need to do is stay quiet. Hello. Stay reverent. Hello. If he or she is not doing what I want them to do, and they're still walking around and God hadn't struck them with lightning, and hey, maybe I may be the one with the problem. Hello, somebody. And most of the time, that's what it is. We try to change our mate and we try to manipulate our mates, and we're in the flesh, in the relationship, and we don't have a happy marriage, we have a frustrated marriage, because we're not doing it the way God says to do. If you want to have a happy marriage, you need to hope in God. Hello, somebody. And parenthetically, there's somebody here tonight, and you're not in a marriage, but you're in a bad situation. You're not in a marriage, but it may be at work, and you have to deal with that boss, and that boss is talking to you crazy. And God is saying to his word tonight, you don't talk crazy back. Oh, keep a quiet and humble spirit, pray, and hope in him, and God can take care of any boss. God can take care of any situation. You don't have to panic like we said Sunday. Oh, when you find yourself in the middle of the storm and the water is pouring over the boat, you don't have to panic. All you have to do is hope in God. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, you better hope in God tonight. Oh, somebody needs some encouragement. Somebody needed some hope tonight. And God is saying in his word, hope in me. Do you believe in the God that you say that you believe in? Then put your hope in God. And it's a wonderful thing. It says you adorn yourself, then adorn themselves with hope in God. They didn't have to buy the red bottom shoes. They didn't have to buy the fancy coach purses and the St. James dresses. Is St. James or St. John? I don't know who they are. But they adorn themselves with hope in God. Wow. When we leave this place, that's why we come here Wednesday night. We come here to take off the clothes that the devil tried to get us to wear throughout the day, and Monday and Tuesday. We come here on a Wednesday night to get some hope to help us to make it through the rest of the week, to help us to make it to Friday and to get to Sunday. We come here to change clothes tonight, to take off the troubles of the world, the cares of the world, and to adorn ourselves tonight. With hope in God. And we do that by the word of God, and we do that by prayer. And that's what we've come here tonight to do. To change our clothes, because the devil wants us to wear other kind of clothes. He wants to wear, he wants us to come in here and be hopeless and think that we won't make it. Think, the negative thoughts. But God has sent you here this afternoon or this night to let you know that you need to change those grave clothes that the devil has been trying to give you and trying to kill you and put you down and make you want to give up. It's time to change those clothes and put on a new adornment. The adornment is hope in God. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, have you changed clothes tonight? They put their hope in God, and this is how they used to adorn themselves, and they submitted to their own husband. If I tell Sister Eton to do something, and you tell Sister Eton to do something, don't think Sister Eton going to do what you say. Hello, somebody. Because the Bible says submit to your own husband and vice versa, or anybody else. I don't need to come speaking to somebody else's wife. No, they're not told to submit. To me out of my position as pastor. But to their husbands. Hello, somebody. Their own husbands. And this is what Sarah says. Says like Sarah. You too use that old word that a lot of folk don't like. She used to obey Abraham. She did what? Wait a minute, Abraham, I ain't your child. Wait a minute. Use that wait a minute. Wait a minute. You know you really was touching with that S word. Hello, somebody. Now you come talking about that O word. Hello, somebody. We all got to obey somebody. Hello, somebody. I obeyed every boss that I had. I obeyed the police officers. When they turn on the lights, I don't keep driving. I obey and I pull over. Hello, somebody. I obey a lot of folk I don't like. Hello, somebody. We all obey somebody. Hello, somebody. So don't get all upset over the old word. When I worked at Concord Missionary Baptist Church, my pastor was Dr. E.K. Bailey. And guess what I did? He was my boss. He's my pastor and my boss. I did everything he told me to do. Hello, somebody. I obeyed. Hello, somebody. I submitted. This was his church, his pastor. I didn't need to be there with my ideas. All I needed to do was follow and do what he said to do. Hello, somebody. I obeyed. Hello, somebody. God is trying to get us to use that obey word. He wants you to obey him. Hello, somebody. You got an issue with following a man, and you may have an issue with following God. Hello, somebody. You got an issue with somebody in authority over you, then you may have issues with God, because we all have to obey somebody. We all have to do it because that's the order of things. If we didn't obey the speeding laws, everybody would be riding around in it. If we didn't obey the stop sign, if we didn't obey the sublights, we'd have crashes and wrecks and everything. This world would be out of order. Hello, somebody. And in disarray, we all obey somebody. Hello, and some things. Hello, somebody. Amen. Anyway, it says Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called, and what did she call him? Her Lord. Hello, somebody. You want to make a man feel good? Call him Lord. Just try it. Just test it out for a little bit. Just say, I'm going to try this Bible stuff out. I'm going to try it. And when he comes to the house, you call him Lord. Hey, boy, he be walking in there, boy. Walking around. I am somebody. Especially certain men of certain classes, they have to deal with all kinds of stuff, and they're an endangered species, and everybody is calling them everything else, and they're trying to put them in places that they don't belong. And if they come to the house and you call him Lord, he may need that. Hello, somebody. Call him Lord. Hello, somebody. Say, lady, say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh, neighbor, I tried once. try it, hey, because it'll make him feel good. It's called that ego. You know, the women of old, they used to know how to do what we call stroke a man's ego. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. And that's God. That's biblical. This is right. She stroked his ego. She called him Lord. I know it made him feel good. Since each time, won't you try that when we get home tonight, okay? Let's call it Lord. You said, move on, preacher. Then it says that you are her daughters if you do what is right. And you do not give way to fear. You see, a lot of these women, it's a fear. He says, don't be afraid. Why don't you try? Don't be afraid. Try it. Said, the only thing that's stopping you is fear. And I believe it was the president said, though, the only fear we have to fear is fear itself, or something like that. I know I just messed up the quote, but. Do not give way to fear. Apply this. Try to apply this to your marriage. And that's your homework assignment. Do it. Try it. Try it. That's something to it. You know, they say, there's a story out of Hollywood. I think it was, should I name names? But a famous actress, you know, who's known to be very beautiful and lovely and all of that. And her husband left her for a woman who, for lack of a better word, we just called her a lesser woman. Okay? She didn't look as good as she did or whatever. She wasn't as successful as she was. There's been studies that's been written on this. A lot of studies on what's the secret to being the other woman. And the secret is that she strokes his ego. Hello, somebody. Yeah, it's her attitude. And that's why men, a lot of men like to be around younger women. Why is that? Because younger women have a tendency to look up to a man. Hello, somebody. Do you look up to your husband? Hello, somebody. You still give him the googly eyes like you used to? Your eyes cross every time you see him. Hello, somebody. I don't mean to matter. but try it. Try it. Don't be afraid. Try it. It works. I'm telling you, it works. I can be up here telling you it works. In the next second, since each time you say something, I'll be, woo! It works without us even knowing it. Hello, somebody. This is the secret. I'm telling you. It's true beauty of the woman. The Bible, you know, doesn't, you know, the Bible is an equal opportunity convictor, okay? So let's move to this husband, okay? On the point number two, a marriage true beloving, a marriage full of true beloving. It says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wife. I think King James says, dwell with your wife in an understanding way. Okay. And treat them with respect as a weaker partner and as heir with you of the gracious gift of life. And that's why many men, the Bible cuts away with how you treat some of your wives. Some of you treat your wife like she the maid. She ain't the maid, homeboy. Hello, somebody. You treat her like she's, you don't treat her like she's a value. Hello, somebody. The Bible tells, and we learn that God told that man to love his wife as Christ loved the church. And in this text, in Colossians, that same word is in Colossians 3:19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be what? Harsh with them. Hello, somebody. You're not supposed to be harsh. You can't walk through the door and say, woman, where's my food at? Woman, you got my bath. Woman. Hello, somebody. No, 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 no. Hello, no, 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 no. I know the world tells you that you're the king of your castle. But guess what? Kings have queens. Hello, somebody. And you don't treat a queen like she's a subject. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. The queen is held in high regard. Hello, somebody. And that's the way you as a man, you have to hold her in high regard. You can't treat her like she's a child. Hello, somebody. She's a mature, grown woman. And most of the time, she's smarter than you. I just put that in there. That's not in the book. I just put that in there. But the Bible says that you just can't treat this woman any kind. You got to dwell with her in an understanding way. And this word for understanding or considerate way could be the same way that you know, it tends to be opposite, because most of the time, kids and wives, they know the man that comes home, they try to sense what kind of mood he's in. Hello, somebody. It's like it's almost direct opposite. You as a man need to be trying to sense what kind of mood she's in. Hello, somebody. I'm trying to help somebody. In an understanding way, in the same way that you can read the weather, and you can see from the weather that there's a storm about to come. Hello, somebody. And you take cover. Hello, somebody. It's the same way a man's supposed to understand his wife. Hello, because she's a little bit more complicated than you are. She's not the same every day. She changes. Hello, somebody. She may feel this way one day and feel the they say a woman has a right to change her mind. Hello, somebody. Why are you arguing? You said this. You said you wanted to do this. Oh, she has a right to change her mind. You can't dwell with a woman like you're dwelling with a man. That's why some of us have problems. You know, you try to teach young. No, she's not a man. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. And that's why the Bible says to dwell with, to be considerate of her, to live with your wife and to treat her with, Aretha Franklin say, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Find out what it means to me. With what? Respect. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. There's a lot of stuff going on in our culture. I was reading looking at a movie talking about, you know, you got all kind of movies, The Diary of a Mad Black Woman. Hello, somebody. And you have all kinds of things about people who are mad. They're just mad. You know, they're mad because there are reasons. People have mistreated them. And you may have married a woman that has been mistreated her whole life. Hello, somebody. And God sent her to you. And he thought that you would have enough love to where you could dwell with her in an understanding way, knowing her background, knowing her hurts, knowing her pains, and that you would be able to apply what love's supposed to be. Love is patient, love is kind, love is all of this, men. This is your major job. All of this, patient. Be patient with your wife. Be kind with your wife. Don't envy your wife. Don't be rude to your wife. Don't be self-seeking all the time. Don't get angry with your wife easily. Don't keep records of wrong with your wife. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. For it says love always protects. It always trusts. You always protect your wife. You always trust your wife. You always hope in your wife. Always persevere with your wife. Love never fails. And that's your job, brothers. Hello, somebody. Marriage is not for little boys. Little boys will throw temper tantrums and want to have it their way. They want to take their marbles and run and go back home. No! Marriage is for grown folk. Hello, somebody. If he's still up under his mama, why he's dating you? You probably don't need to marry him because he's gonna have her in your house, running your house. Hello, somebody. Marriage is for men. Hello, somebody. And the greatest weight weighs on the man. Hello, somebody. Somebody said from the pulpit once to his wife, he said, I love you, and you can't do nothing about it. Hello, somebody. That's what men need to be. That's how men need to treat their wife. Treat them with respect as weaker partners. Your wife is not a man. Hello, somebody. You should do the heavy lifting. That's why you got all the muscles. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Let me tell you again. You should be doing the heavy lifting. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. And heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. Don't you know, y'all going to the same place? You're going to heaven? You're part of the king's kids? Hello, somebody. And you're heirs together. Hello, somebody. So husbands, love your wife and don't be harsh with them. Hello, somebody. Men, you say, neighbor. Neighbor. Or neighbor.
Or neighbor.
Love your wife.
Love your wife.
Or your future wife.
Or your future wife.
Hello, somebody. Says so you love your wives and don't be harsh with them. Hello, somebody. Because if you're harsh, this is what's going to happen. And this word is really, it's for the men. If you're harsh to your wife, you really can't do any true beseeching or true prayer. Let me say it again. If you're harsh to your wife, and put it in a term that you can understand it. If you're harsh to your wife, God don't want to hear nothing you got to say.
You're right.
Ooh, that's deep. Let me say it again. If you're harsh to your wife, God don't want to hear nothing that you have to say. And guess what? If God don't want to hear nothing you have to say, that affects your prayer life. Hello, somebody. That affects your blessing. That affects your favor. That affects, God opening up the windows of heaven and pouring out blessings that you won't have room enough to receive. That affects that if you don't treat your wife right. Hello, somebody. treat women right. You gotta treat, you can't be harsh. That's why a lot of folk are mad at this Chris Brown Rihanna situation. It's not a husband and wife, but there are a lot of husbands and wives are in abusive relationships, and wives and husbands have the nerve to raise their hands and to use their hands to beat against their wives. And this is not of God.
Amen. Amen.
And if you say that you love God, you won't let a man do that to you. Talking about God hates the book. No. Because if you say that, you have children, your children are going to see that same behavior, and they're going to grow up and do the same thing. Even though they're saying their hearts and their minds and jump in between mommy and daddy as they're fighting, and they'll say, I'll never do this, and they'll grow up and they will repeat the same behavior. Hello, somebody. This, that is not of God. Ain't nothing holy about it. No, a man should never hit a woman. Really, a man should really even never should raise his voice to a woman. Whoo, now that's even more deeper. Hello, somebody. You gotta dwell with her, together with her in an understanding way. She's a weaker vessel. Why are you gonna try to hit her? She ain't even yours. If you wanna hit somebody, hello, somebody. Yeah, go out and hit a tree. You want to hit somebody, go out there and hit a cow. Mind you, they might hit back. You want to hit somebody, go to the gym and get in the ring with somebody as big and bad as you are. Hello, somebody. Never be harsh. You cannot be harsh to a woman. No. You wanna be cursed, be harsh to a woman.
Come on.
Ooh, that's the way God designed it. God placed you there as a man to protect her, not to be the protagonizer. Hello, somebody. Or antagonist. Hello, somebody. Because if you do, you're gonna be basically cursed. You know, say so that nothing will hinder your prayers. You've got to treat her this way so that nothing will hinder your prayers, so that God can hear you when you pray, so that God can bless you when you ask, so that God can deliver when you need deliverance, so that God can give you healing when you need healing. Oh, you've got to treat her right. Ooh, hello, somebody. Treat her right. Hello, somebody. Even if she can't treat herself right,
come on, you're right,
you better treat her right. Hello, somebody. Don't ever, 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 never, ever, ever be harsh to them. Don't ever raise your hand. Don't ever spit, you know, how they do today, spit on a woman. Don't ever pour a drink in a woman's face. Hello, somebody. Don't ever mistreat a woman. Hello, somebody. I'll tell you a story about a pastor. He admitted this wasn't the right thing to do, but he had a member and her husband jumped on him all the time. And he got so mad, he got a couple of his deacons and went over to their house, and they laid hands on him. And it wasn't prayer. It wasn't prayer. I'm not suggesting that we do this, but the end of the story was, is he ended up giving his life to Christ and coming to the church and became a deacon. Because these men cared enough to protect the women of the church. Hell yeah, they opened his eyes. Yeah, so it is. They opened his eyes. Why? But we protect women. We protect. We used to be a culture that we protected women. Now, I don't know what we are. Say, before the Titanic sunk, they said two words. Women and children first. Somebody said jump. That's one word now. Let's get it. I said two words. Women and children first. Or three words. Is that 3 words? Women and children first. 4 words. Women and children first. Hello, somebody. That's what men have to do. Have to put our women and children first. Here on earth, anyway, you got God first in the heavens. Women and children, your wife and your children. This text says in Mark 11:24, 11:25, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Don't you know when you don't treat your wife right, you don't have forgiveness of sin? Because he ain't hearing your confession. Hello, he's not hearing your repentance. This cuts you off from God completely. I don't live in a kind of world that I need to be cut off from God at no time, at no minute, at no second. I need to always be connected to God. And this is what he's saying in his word. When you don't treat your wife right, you get cut off. Not even forgiveness of sin. That's how serious he takes your role as a man in a marriage relationship. Did Christ do anything wrong to the church?
Nope.
As a matter of fact, the church laid hand on Christ. And what did Christ do? Nothing. He turned the other cheek. If your wife gets mad and she's angry and she hits you. Hello, somebody. Because women are very highly emotional. And a lot of times they don't think. I always tell women, don't mess with the bear. Leave the bear alone. The bear sleeping, let him. But women, they get emotional, and boy, and they go off. Somebody got to keep the peace. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. If she slapped you. I'm not saying turn the other cheek. You probably need to leave because you probably ain't got enough in you. You got to walk away. Hello, somebody. That's the way we used to train our boys when they were with them. We don't train our boys like that no more. They raised them to, if she hit you, you don't hit them back. Hello, somebody. We protect our women. And in protecting them, we really protect ourselves. We stay in the favor of God. Hello, somebody. That's what all I want to do. Stay in the favor of God. So if you want to have a happy marriage, apply these principles. Try the principle of true beauty. The principle of true beloving or loving. The principle of true beseeching prayer. Don't you know prayer changes things? You believe in the God that you serve, but you say, preacher, you don't know the marriage that I'm in. I don't have to know the marriage that you're in. All I have to know is the God that you serve. And I know he's bigger than you and your marriage. Hello, somebody. And I know if you do what you're supposed to do, then God's going to bless you. God's going to bless your children. Hello, somebody. If you do right. So Christians should have happy marriages to make him known. Amen. Shall we pray? Father God, we come tonight, Lord. Just want to thank you, Lord, for this time, this month, which we've had to been able to study love and marriage, Father God. We pray, Lord, that you would enable us to apply this to our lives, Father God. apply, Lord, first the love issue with one another, with our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord. We need this kind of love as we try to grow as a church, Lord. We're gonna have to be patient, Lord, with new believers. We're gonna have to be kind with new believers, Father. We're gonna have to not always be self-seeking, Father, not keeping records of wrong of those new believers that are saved, Father, and trying to walk in newness of life, Father. We help us, Father, to apply love to one another, Lord, to where we're protecting every member, Father, and that we're not raising our voices against any member, that we're always trusting, always hoping, always persevering, because we know, Father, that love never fails, Father, in Jesus' name, Father. So, Father, help us to apply it to our relationships with one another. Help us to apply it, Lord, in our relationship with one another as husbands and wives. Help singles, Lord, to grasp these concepts, Lord, so they can be ready, Lord, to be married, Father. We thank you, Lord, for those who've decided to take you up on your word and decided to get married and decided to get engaged and decided to do things God's way. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would bless them, Father, for being obedient to you, Father. In the same way, Lord, that you would bless those who are listening and they've decided to do marriage your way, and they decided to apply your word to their marriage relationship. Father, in Jesus' name, Father, we know, Lord, that marriage is the foundation of any culture, Father, and marriages in our culture are fading away, Lord, which means our society is about to waste away, Father, but enable us to be the guard, Father. Enable us to be the standard as we raise the standard in the church house, Father. Help us in this house to live the way we're supposed to live, Father, and to do the things that we're supposed to do, Lord, because, when we don't, we affect our testimony. If we're not living right, we can't tell folk about the right Jesus Christ, Lord. And Father, there are many in this church, Lord, who may not be living right, Father, but you are moving on their hearts and their minds to repent and to turn. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for moving, to turn, for them returning and repenting and changing their ways, Father, in Jesus' name. And may we all turn, Lord, in Jesus' name. For we all fail in some way, especially in this area of love, Father. May we all turn, Father, in Jesus' name, and do it the way you say to do it, Father, in Jesus' name, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, we come tonight, Lord, praying for those that are in the box, Lord. Father, we pray, Lord, that you convict them of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, that they may be saved, Father. That they may take this miracle message, Lord, from us, Lord, from some of us, Lord, without even saying a word, as it says in the text tonight. For some may be married to somebody that's not saved, Father. Enable them to apply your redemptive word in your life, in their lives, Father. That, and others are looking at us, and we don't have to say a word, Lord. They know we are Christians, Lord, by our love, Lord, for one another, Father. So, Father, we pray for those that are in the box, Lord, in Jesus' name. Move, Father. We want to see more coming saying, what must I do to be saved, Father? And we want to be as a church ready to love on them, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, we come praying, Lord, for those that are sick in our body right now, Father. We pray, Lord, for Brother Cummings, Lord, and the doctors don't think that there's anything that that they can do to make him better, Father, but we know a God that's able, Father. And Father, we're still in a seed on his behalf. And believe, Father, that you can touch him. Believe, Father, that you can heal him. Believe, Father, that you can raise him from that sick bed, Father. And Jesus name, in Jesus' name. Father, we lift up Reverend Rushing to you, Father God, and we thank you, Lord, that the surgery went well, Father. We thank you, Lord, that he's back home, Father. But the surgeons have done everything that they can do, which to move all obstructions, Father. But Father, we pray, Lord, for your healing power, Father. And it's our Father in Jesus' name. Touch miraculously, Father, in Jesus' name. Heal, Father, that he may see, Father. That, oh, we believe, Lord, that you still can give sight to the blind, Father, in Jesus' name. Touch, Lord, and move, Father, and touch not only him, but his whole family, Father, as they go through this tumultuous time of having to care for him. Adapt to the whole situation. Father, be with the family and be with us, Lord, and give us wisdom in what we can and cannot do, oh, for this family. Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Pray for other members, Lord, that are on their sickbed. Sister Margie, Father, in Jesus' name. Touch and move, Father, as only you can, Father, in Jesus' name, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for families who have been mourning, Father, the loss of loved ones, Father. Oh, it seems like we perpetually are losing, Father, but we still look to you, Father, and look to the hills from which cometh our help. And we know, Lord, that our help comes from you and you alone, Father. In Jesus' name, we cry out to you tonight, Father. We pray, Lord, for revival in this place, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We pray for maturity and growth in this place. In Jesus' name, Father. We pray, Lord, for unity and harmony and love, Father, within this place, Lord. As the devil tries to come against us, Father, we come and we resist the devil right now that he may flee. In Jesus' name, Father. In Jesus' name, we come praying, Lord, for this building project, Father, and wanting to build a new building, Father, and seeing the plans, Lord, and we pray, Lord, that ultimately your will be done, Father, but we know by faith that you can raise this edifice, Father, in Jesus' name, and not only that, but you can give us all what we want within this edifice, Lord, that, oh, Father, that we may build a church to build a congregation, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, touch every member here that came with a burden upon their hearts, on their minds, on their backs, in their necks, Father, in Jesus' name. We believe by faith that you're causing it to fall off right now, in Jesus' name. We're speaking peace to them, Father. We're speaking joy, Father, to them, Father. We're clothing them tonight, Father, with hope in you, Father, in Jesus' name, that everyone may leave here tonight having hope in you, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you.
Hello again. This is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program.
Amen.
Before we sign off,
praise the Lord.
We just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms, and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We love, believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, listening throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family, because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby.
Thank you for
and you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello again. This and is Pastor Mike Lee Tom, the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now, we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com. And you can hear it. Tap the link on the MySpace page or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did it. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in an economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God, and I believe God can do it for us, and we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-art building, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more. Whatever God is laying on your heart, we need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com.